tonight in the opening session of this foundational class. Here at the headquarters of the Way, I turn to my syllabus, which every person in the class will have tomorrow night, plus all the collateral reading, plus everything that goes with the class. And we always begin this class with the same basic scripture from God's Word, and that's found in John 10. And I trust if you people here in the auditorium have not registered for this class, I trust you shall tonight. Give yourself an opportunity to listen to almost 30 years of my life in research in the accuracy of God's Word. I have nothing to sell. I have nothing to argue about. I don't want to take anybody away from anything that they like to hold on to. But I think you ought to give yourself the opportunity to listen to the research in the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. And so for the next 13 sessions, 13 nights, so to speak, we're just going to be working the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. I will not bring into this teaching platform a commentary. I will not bring into this auditorium a book that I want to read to you because of what somebody else says. But I'm going to bring in here the very book that has set men and women free down through the centuries. This book, and you're going to read it with me, and I'm going to read it with you. And we're going to read it with an alacrity of mind, with a great spiritual understanding, that once again, you can know God's Word as God's will. John 10:10 is what turned me on. It's what set my life free. It's what changed my whole approach to life. Jesus said in verse 10, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? I am come. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now that's fantastic. Where in the world have you seen Christian believers really manifesting an abundant life? According to statistics, the Christians buy as many sedatives or whatever it is to go to sleep on as the non-Christians. They buy as many pills to get awake in the morning. They buy as many pills to stay up on all day long. They are just as full of fear, worry, anxiety, and frustration as the unbeliever. Now that cannot be right if God's Word is right. Someplace, somewhere, class, somebody must have missed the boat. Because even back in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, after approximately 400 years of slavery, they came out of that nation, and there were about 2.5 million. And they marched for 20 years in the wilderness under the most adverse conditions, without any Carter's little liver pills, without any Anacin, without any what you brush with for 34% less, Crest. They ought to pay me for publicizing their products or something. They wandered for 20 years, and the psalmist said, there was not one feeble knee among them. Not one. 2.5 million. Today you can take a church of 2.5 people and 3 of them are sick. Let alone million. When you have a congregation and you're the pastor of that congregation, you spend a tremendous amount of time doing nothing but visiting the sick and burying the dead. Someplace, somewheres, people, somebody must have lost something either that or God has changed. And the Bible says God has not changed. He is unchangeable. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The least that man could believe for is an abundant life. And if the average Christian today manifested an abundant life, I believe he'd be real thankful. But Jesus Christ did not come to give an abundant life, as good as that is. It says he came that we might have life and have it hell. More, more, more. I didn't write the book and I didn't die for you. I didn't come for you. But God sent his only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ said he came that we might have life and have it how? More abundantly. Well, what does he mean? Does he mean abundant? No. He means a life which is what? More than abundant. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, that's a life. That's something that will make you effervesce and glow. It will turn you on. In many respects, when you believe God's Word and start seeing it come to pass in your life, when you really start walking on this, you'll stick out like a sore thumb in your community. They'll wonder where your head is. They'll wonder why they haven't incarcerated you in an institution. Because just nobody could manifest a life which is more than what? Abundant. But that's what the Word says. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I came to that scripture one day, and I had to make up my mind, just like you have to make up your mind tonight. Did Jesus Christ lie, or did he tell the truth? It's as simple as that. Did he lie, or did he tell the truth? If he lied, we might as well chuck the whole thing. We might as well just trip out. We might as well throw at the ash can or whatever you want. File 13. Get rid of it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ lied in John 10:10, how can you trust him in John 3:16? How can you trust him in Matthew 24:1? How can you trust him in Galatians? How can you trust him in Revelation? If he lied in John 10:10, he lied every place. You have no word of God left. It's either or, class. You either believe God's word or you don't. If he told the truth, and you can get into my class believing Jesus Christ was a liar. You can get into this class on power for abundant living if you don't believe a thing in the word of God. You're welcome. That's right. I'm not going to ridicule you. I'm not going to laugh at you. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to set that word of God in front of you till it runs out of your ear balls. That's right. I'm going to make you logical for once in your life. I'm going to make you sit and think. Because the average person doesn't think today. He just thinks he thinks, but he never gets around to thinking that he really thinks. That's right. Look. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He either lied or he did what? Okay, if he lied, we chuck it, okay? Then just get rid of it and say Christianity's a bunch of baloney and we're being honest. But, suppose he told the truth. Wow. Just suppose he told the truth. Then someplace, class, somewhere, somehow, we've got to be able to read it. You've got to be able to read it. You've got to be able to see it in God's Word so that if you apply certain principles, you're going to start manifesting what kind of a life. Would you mind if I take my coat off? I'd like for you to see my suspense. I'd have taken it off 10 minutes ago. I was embarrassed to, but I'm just getting too hot. Thank you. Well, I'm not as bad as some men I know who wear double protection. They have a belt to boot. Oh, I love you. Boy, people, it's so simple. How Satan could have blinded our eyes through the centuries, how we could have been talked out of it, is just unbelievable to me today. And yet one time I was totally talked out of it because I was the absolute epitomization of just the opposite of the more abundant life. We live negatively. We live below par. Oodles of the church members had lots more than we had materially and every other way. But I guess I had it coming. Because that deacon in my church, he had a tremendous prayer. Because he used to pray for me so beautifully to keep me humble. That's right. He used to pray, Lord, you keep Whirlwell humble, we'll see to it he stays poor. So, in my humility, we manifested poverty. There was a time in our ministry, Mrs. Whirlwell and I thought we couldn't afford butter, so we ate oleo. Now, there's nothing the matter with oleo except I don't like it. Just like bologna. There's nothing the matter with bologna except I don't like it. And it's a remarkable thing. I've talked about bologna so much, you couldn't set it in front of my kids in our house. They don't like it either. Must have been the talk, huh? Well, anyways. It was Mrs. Whirlwell who one day made the decision, and bless God, she said, we're going to buy butter. If we starve, we're still going to buy butter, because if we're going to die, we might as well die having butter instead of oleo. Well, now that's a switch. And from that day on, some things began to happen. There are many things that go through a man's life, through a woman's life, through a family's life, that hardly anybody else ever knows anything about. Many of you in the auditorium do not know that my wife was on her deathbed, according to quite a number of specialists, who said she would never live. All except one specialist, he said, well, she might live, but if she did, she'd never do a day's work again in her life. Well, you all know my Doxy, she's a pretty good gal. And she does a little bit more than a day's work many times. But boy, when those things were happening to us, we were living so far below par. We had it coming because we were breaking every law of God. And the old devil knew what I really had in my soul if I ever got turned on. So he did everything in his power just to kill us off. He did an admirable job. Until one day I was stupid enough to believe John 10:10. Well, bless God, if it takes stupidity to believe, I think we ought to pray for more people to get stupid so we can believe it. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and we started practicing. We started thanking God that things were going to come to pass, that we were going to have a life that was more abundant. She got healed, set free. We got butter on the table. And if you don't believe it, I imagine we got 3 pounds in reserve right now in the refrigerator at the house. Just in the event too many of you come over at the same time. Butter. Now, maybe that doesn't mean much to you people, the difference between oleo and butter. But it's a principle that's involved. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it how? More abundantly. And if I don't like oleo and I'm a child of God, why shouldn't I eat butter? Well, I'm going to eat butter. It's so simple, people. This first lesson in this class, the title above everything, and you'll get it in your syllabus because everybody in the class is given the syllabus, has in it all the keys that unlock every scripture from Genesis to Revelation, so you can read it again with understanding and appropriate and walk on it, every one of them. But across the top it says the very same thing. It says right here, the Word of God is the will of God. no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We in the Way Ministry believe that the Word of God is, not maybe, but that it is literally the will of God. We believe that you can only know the will of God by knowing the Word of God. There is no other way whereby you can know the will of God except to know the Word. No way whereby you can know my will except I give you my Word. When I said, let's sing hymn number 66, why didn't you sing 13 and you 14 and you 17, somebody else 20? Why? Because my Word was my what? If there is a God class, if there is a God, do you think that He'd be any less specific than I am? Don't answer that one. You'll hang yourself. Oh, people, how we live below par because we believe a man's word but won't believe God's word. The average person today believes his banker more than he does God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. They believe the stock market more. And we are men and women who call ourselves Christian. Something wrong someplace. That's why, sir, Christians are not manifesting a more abundant life. 85% of all the peoples in the correctional institutions of our land are Christians. What a commentary on Christianity. That's right. In our mental institutions, 85% of them across the nation are Christians. The moral of that story is you got an 85% chance if you want to go to an institution, get to be a Christian, you are the institution. Now, by sheer logic, you know what I'd do if I was an unbeliever? I'd stay out of that institution and refuse being a what? By sheer logic. I wouldn't want to be a Christian. I won't go to the institution. The greatest secret, and people, it's a secret in our day and time. It's like a woman's purse. It's the greatest secret in the whole world today is that the Bible is the revealed Word and will of God. It's the greatest secret. The best I've ever found among men is that they say, yes, the Bible is the Word of God, but then when you hit them on their denominational points or theological points where the Word would speak differently, they'd throw out the Word. It's either all God's Word or none of it is. That's why it's a secret. And you and I are going to have to go back to God's Word in these next 13 sessions and just let that Word speak for itself without Werewolf's interpretation or yours or anybody else. For the Word of God means what it says and it says what it means. When He said He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that's what He meant. That's what He said. It's as simple as that, sir. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, and in verse 13, for my people, Jeremiah 2:13, for my people, God is talking to His own people. He's not talking to people outside of the pale. He's talking to those within the fold. Today you would say He's talking to the church, the born, the Christians. Today, if this were written to our time. For my people, God's people, have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of what? Living waters. That's number one. God's people had forsaken Him who was their very life. their very being, they had forsaken him. A tremendous thing. He who is a fountain of living water. A fountain is something that effervesces on its own. It flows by itself. You don't have to pump it. You don't have to put an engine or motor on it. It just bubbles out. It's a fountain, a spring. God is a fountain. And he said, my people, number one, have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. If you went across our land, the length and breadth of it, or in any, even in your little bit of community that you represent, and you walk up to people and you start a serious conversation, and you say to them, well, what's the greatest sin you think that a man can commit? You'll come up with a multiplicity of answers, a multiple amount of them. One person will say it's murder. Someone else will say it's adultery. Someone else will give a third reason or a third answer for the greatest sin. You know what the Word of God says in Matthew 22? The greatest sin is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first and what? The first and great commandment. Class by sheer logic. If that is the first and the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, strength, then by sheer logic, class, what's the first and great sin? To break that first and great commandment, right? Oh, it's all it can be. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which means we must just totally love him. To do anything less than that is to commit the biggest sin that a man can commit. I know that's contrary to denominational teaching, theological works. I know it's contrary to our times, but let me ask you, am I telling you God's word or am I flipping? You can read it in Matthew 22. Some of you have memorized it, known it for years. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Anything we love more than him is the greatest sin we can commit. And when you look round about you, Christians, for the most part, have not arrived at the place that they really love God with their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. They've always got an ace in the hole. Love something else. Can't do it. God has to come first. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thy what? On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. This is why he said in Jeremiah, they have forsaken me, the fountain of what? And when a man forsakes God, he always does the second part of that verse. He hews out for himself a fountain, no, a cistern. Man is basically religious. Man has to have something to hold on to. What happens when he forsakes the true God is that he hews out for himself his own religious system, his own theological ideologies, beliefs, his own approach of rationalism to the Word of God or existentialism. He hews out for himself a beautiful form of religion, but it's only a what? Cistern. It's not a fountain. And just when he needs power the most, it is not there. Because a cistern will only hold the amount of water of the size it's hewed out. 100-barrel cistern cannot hold an unlimited amount of water, right? It can only hold 100 barrels. If you're going to put 200 in it, you've got to empty the first 100 out. They hew out for themselves cisterns. They look beautiful. They look like the real McCoy. But there's only one thing wrong with it, besides having limitations, and that is, it's got a crack in it. You pour it in the top and it runs out of the side. What say is broken cisterns. What's a broken cistern? Well, it's got crack in it. A broken cistern that can hold no what? Water. How descriptive this tremendous verse is, written thousands of years ago. How apropos it is to our day and our time. How it speaks to our generation tonight. How beautiful systems we've hewed out. You know, National Council, World Council, you name them, we got them. All these wonderful systems to bring peace. All these wonderful systems, including the United Nations, to terminate all war. We're to love God with all our what? Soul, mind, and strength. But are we really loving God, or are we like God's people? That we have hewed out for ourselves what we thought. Cisterns. God says they're broken cisterns that can hold no water. These broken cisterns just don't stand the test. Just when you need a prayer answered, you haven't got it. Just when we need to tap in, it's not there. When we need deliverance, it's not there. Because man has hewed out for himself his own philosophies, his own ideologies, his own systems, and those are what have left us down. In the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 4. Listen to verse 6. My people, again God is talking to his people. My people, Israel, are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. For lack of what? Knowledge. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by sheer logic, this cannot be that God's people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge of chemistry or history or mathematics or philosophy or biogenetics. That's all I can think of right now. All of these intellectual knowledge of putting a man on the moon. We can't be destroyed for lack of that knowledge because we did it, right? Then if God's people are being destroyed today, there has to be a reason, Klaus. And all over our land, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is getting less and less and less. According to a recent report almost 2 years ago, 2 months ago, over 4,000 young people across our land are quitting the church month after month now, or is it week after week? I forget. I got the report. Well, there must be something wrong, because just last week we went into a city where nobody knew us, and within by the second night, these young people were just crowding in to hear God's word. Even to the end, they bring their little LSD pills along and we flush them down the toilet for them.
Didn't know that, did you? Well, they were giving up a few trips. Because there's a better trip in store for those who want the word. That's right. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Class, that lack of knowledge can only be a knowledge of the accuracy of God's word, that's all. Well, people, if we're being destroyed for a lack of knowledge of God's word, why don't we just take a little time off and go study the word? Why don't we just come back and take a look at God's word? Why don't we just give ourselves an opportunity at least to sit and listen again? To evaluate. The rest of that verse says, because thou hast rejected what? Knowledge. The knowledge of the accuracy of the word. I, God, will also what? That thou should be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of the Lord thy God, I will also forget all your kids. Why are the young people tripping out? Because the adults forgot the true God. We've sold our souls for money, power, positions of prestige, influence as we thought it was in a community, right? Sure. We had to live with the Joneses, and a quote, because we got two families of Joneses in here tonight. That's not what I mean. Man had to maintain what they thought was a status quo or something. Oh, shoot. For the eternal destiny of your soul, is it worth? No. He said that's why God had to forget the children, because the parents forgot to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. God said the children come along and they trip out. Today, the young people of our land take a lot of persecution, a lot of criticism. We got long hairs in here tonight. My old friend Donnie down here. Many a woman would love to have what he's got on his head or something. And I know a few men in this auditorium and other auditoriums might love to have at least part of what he's got. You know what the Bible says? God doesn't look on the length of a man's hair or the color of his eyeballs. He doesn't look at whether you wear green suspenders with purple lining. God looks on the inside. What is a man within here? What's a woman on the inside? That's right. The Bible says he looks on the heart. I'd like to challenge a lot of ministers across this land of ours to have done what this long hair did in the last year and a half in Wichita, Kansas. That's right. Where perhaps over 600 that we can put our finger on, been born again, turned from dope and all the sex trips to the Lord Jesus Christ, started with a boy 19 years old. Where were the adults? That's right, girl. I feel like clapping, too. And if you think I'm a good teacher, you ought to hear him. He's tremendous, fabulous, because he's hid the word in his heart, and he was just stupid enough to believe God's word. Praise the Lord. You know, he traveled with me last week, and we love each other. We sit, you know, we rap. I'd say something to me, it was very simple, and he'd say, well, Dr. Weir, well, what's that mean? See? And it was always something wasn't the word. He never says that to me about the word. What does that mean? He's read the word, but those other things that most of us have been tripped out in society on, he just doesn't know any, you know, doesn't know about. Wasn't that beautiful? But he's turned the city of Wichita upside down. How much courage you got? Why didn't you turn New Knoxville upside down?
Wapaneta, St. Mary's, Salina. We can't even get to those places. Dayton. Take someone 19 years old. Now, you want to tell me God's any bigger than him? Or has people changed? Don't answer that one either. Might hang yourself again. Really, I'm not elevating Donnie, but I elevate the Christ that's in him. The greatness of the Word in him. I could go across this room, pick out others. Because of their stand in the Word, holding forth the Word, things have happened, right? Bless your heart, that's right. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Class, that lack of knowledge is God's Word. So if we don't want to be destroyed, we come back and get the Word. We'll get the knowledge when we get the Word. You don't get the knowledge just because you think you got the Word. You've got to have the Word to have the knowledge. Thinking you got it doesn't give it to you. That's right. If you think you got $1,000 in your pocket and you haven't got it, reach in and get it. You can't drive a wheelbarrow into a garage and get a Cadillac tomorrow morning. Try. Write Cadillac on the outside and take her a ride. I don't care. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, I shared with the men today, but it fits right in here tonight. Psalms, Proverbs, 29, the King James translation is not nearly as accurate as the Sanskrit translation in India. The Sanskrit, the second oldest language in the world. Estringilo Aramaic is the original language in which the Word of God was written. It was the language in which Abraham spoke. It was the language in which Adam spoke and all the rest of it. It's the lingua franca of the Word of God was Estringilo Aramaic. The second oldest language, I believe, is Sanskrit. Sanskrit translates verse 18 of the 29th chapter as follows. And I wish you'd write it someplace in the margin or some other place, because if you haven't written it there, sometime you'll want to remember it, I'm sure. Listen to it. Where there is no knowledge of God, the people wander aimlessly. Where there is no knowledge of God, the people wander aimlessly. They have no goal, no purpose, no distance that they can see and head toward and know that they're going to arrive. Where there is no knowledge, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. A knowledge of God. Now, how are you going to get a knowledge of God? God is Spirit. Only from His Word. Only from His Word. No place else. Where there is no knowledge of God, the people wander aimlessly. Like sheep without a shepherd. Like a church without a ministry. Of apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, or pastors. The wolves come in and just tear them to pieces. It is this Word of God that we in the Way Ministry and I teach in this class on Power for Abundant Living will make known unto us the how of the more abundant life. It will make us certain in the midst of the uncertainty of our day and time, that once again you can say like John Townsend said tonight, in essence, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that this Christ whom I serve is absolutely God's only begotten Son all the way down the line. In the second place, I believe this class on Power for Abundant Living has given to those of us who have studied the Word and understand the keys. A firm rock in the sea of speculation of our day and time. And today it's basically all speculation. Right? You can belong to a Sunday school class, read it in a quarterly. We go around, I'm the teacher, and I say, well, what do you think that verse means? And he says, well, I think it means so and so. Then I come over to you and I say, what do you think? And you say, well, I believe what he said is partly true, but I think. Then we go to number three and we say, what do you think? And he said, well, I think both of those fellows had good points, but I think it's so. Now we go to number four and he says, well, now those three were each had a little bit, but I think it's so and so. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, how tripped out can a fellow be? The Word of God is not what you think. The Word of God is what it says. Doesn't make any difference what you think or I think. What does it say? The curse has been that everybody has taught it this way. What do you think? I don't give a hoot what you think. Much less, I don't even care what I think. What does it say? I adjust my thinking according to what it says. In this class, you're going to hear me ask you a couple of times, what do you think? And you are going to hang yourself. You want to bet? I'll get you so wrapped up in your theology, I'll ask you a question, you'll read it right from the Word yourself, I'll ask you a question, and I'll turn right around and hang you on it. Because you'll say, well, I think, woo! That's when I tear out my hair, you know, and all my dandruff disappears, which I don't have. And it's, why? Because we've been so acclimatized that nobody knows the answers anyways. And everybody's pretty well accurate because everybody's headed toward the same goal. Oh, there are 1,000 different ways to get there. Just as long as you're headed the right direction, and if you just treat Maggie Muggins pretty good, she's a character in the class, you'll learn to know her. We got other characters too, like Henry Poloco. That's right. Maggie Muggins, did I tell you about her? Yeah, oh, you got Johnny Jump Up, too. Snowball Pete. That's the season of the year for him. January. I believe this Word of God is a firm rock in the sea of speculation and guess. And boy, if you want 1,000 answers today as to what people think God is or religion or something, just ask the people on the street or in the church or any place. They just don't agree on nothing. Why don't we just come back, read God's Word and say, thus saith the Lord, and jump? That's right. If God said jump, I don't ask any questions. I just jump. That's right. I don't even ask how high. I just jump. He didn't say, ask questions. He said, jump, I jump. Reminds me of this great experiment they conducted at Ohio State University with John Somerville and some of our great Ohio State students, Miss Randall and some of the rest. They had a very intelligent professor over there, I guess. And he was going to do an experiment on a flea to just find out exactly some of the great truths about a flea. So he got himself in that beautiful laboratory at Ohio State. And of course he had to have his white gown on and white gloves. And then he got himself that little box that had that flea on it, in it. And he opened a box and got with his white gloves, he took that little tweezer and took that flea out of there. And he set him down here, and he jerked off one leg. Whew! Right. And he said, jump! And the flea, whoop, jumped. He gets his little pad, writes down all the things about that leg, how he pulled it out, and he said to that flea, jump, and he jumped. Gets the flea back with his tweezers, puts him on here, gets a hold of him again, jerks out the other leg, poof! And he says, jump, poof! And that flea jumped like crazy. Gets his pad out and makes another note, right down the line. Does this five times. Every time he takes off a leg, he says, jump, and the flea jump. Then he brings him back, and he's only got one little leg left on that flea. And he takes his pad, and he notes that, and he measures the length of that last little old leg, puts down all the measurements, takes his tweezers, jerks that leg off of there, and he says, jump. And the flea doesn't do a blessed thing. You know what this great scientist does at Ohio State? Takes his little old pad and writes down. When you jerk all the legs off of a flea, the darn fool can't hear. I promise I'll be nice. I don't know when, but it's promised. You know, it's like the Word of God. When you take that thing all apart and jerk it all apart, nobody can hear the Word because there's no Word left. The Word means what it says and says what it means. When he said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, what does he mean? Just you don't have to have a Ph.D. from Timbuktu back alley to understand that. You hardly have to go through third grade, let alone first. That's why I believe the Word of God gives us a firm, a real solid, a firm rock, because we believe that rock is Christ Jesus. In the sea of speculation, we believe there's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not believe there are many roads that lead to heaven. There are many roads lead to San Francisco and Chicago. You know, Ted Mardell wrote that song off of this first lesson of the class. But there's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that this class on power for abundant living with the accuracy of God's Word will again give to young people and adults as well as children a safe anchorage in the vast ocean of doubt in which we are not only engulfed but almost to the point of succumbing. We believe that the Word of God is a safe anchorage. We believe that a man can trust the Word of God. The reason men don't trust the Word of God is because they can't trust their own Word. Man has read his own distrust into God's Word. Therefore, if you want to be in a quest in the next couple of weeks of the integrity and the accuracy and the greatness of God's Word, you may have a tremendous knowledge of God's Word. I still invite you to join this class, because I'm not going to make you believe a thing. I'm not going to dog you with it. I'm not going to hit you over the head. But I'm going to set before you these great, tremendous truths. Then you make up your own mind. Are they true or are they not? Do you want to believe them or don't you want to believe them? For many of us, it has been a complete change in our life. For many of us, it has so totally renewed our minds and our lives for us that we today are the manifestation, not only the epitomization, but the manifestation of the power of God wherever we walk. Do you like that kind of trip? You might find this class enjoyable. I guarantee that this class will answer 90 to 95% of the questions you have ever dared to think or ask in your life regarding life, Christianity, the Word of God, and a lot of other things in your own life. I guarantee you'll answer 95% of the questions, not to my satisfaction, but to yours. People, if a class answered 51% of the question, it'd have to be a miracle class. So I don't know what class you put this in. This is a miracle par excellence, miracle, or something. If a man could be absolutely sure of being right 51% of the time, he could make a million on the stock market. We believe God's word is truth all the way.